B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Krejci takes it away. Krejci to Coyle. And the Leafs are mulch again.
Not a bad line from Jack Edwards there. Not horrible. Mulch. Leaves don't quite turn to mulch. More like tree bark, Maz. You would know. You like doing the home improvement stuff.
Biodegradable.
Okay, whatever. We get the idea. Thoughts. Bruins, Leafs. What do you got, Maz?
I mean, look, give it to them. Give it to them all the way around. It was a complete team effort. And they were very even teams. And I think the difference in the game last night, and this doesn't make me that different from anyone else, was the goaltenders. You know, the Toronto had the advantage in play. And Tuukka bricked up the net, and the other guy didn't. And the other guy let one squeak through for the first goal of the game. And look, though, you know, I don't need to tell you, those little things can have little jolts of momentum one way or the other, or they can affect a team's confidence one way or the other. And so, you know, Nordstrom throws one in that sneaks inside the post, and meanwhile, Tuukka's just blocking up everything. Everything. And so for all the criticisms and questions, and many of them justified, that we have had about Tuukka Rask, give it to him. He was money last night. Game 7, season on the line, bad history of Game 7, and he was the number one star in the game for a reason. He was dynamite.
Actually, 1 year game.
He was dynamite. So give it to him. I mean, the difference to me, again, was the goaltending. Tuukka's save percentage in the game last night, 970. The other guy, 900. One guy was way above average. One guy was below average. There you go. There's your game.
What do you think, Murray?
Rask stole the game, especially with the way that second period was going, which the Bruins were completely outplayed in that period. It was Rask's best performance. If I was him, I would spend the extra money to actually rent a billboard until further notice, put it up, and have a photo of him pointing at his ass, and it just says, "Haters, suck it." Right there, because that was his best performance.
Okay, but why is that the story? I mean, and I'm glad everyone goes to the talk show, because that's what that sounds like, you know?
It's not just talk shows.
No, but why is the story the haters? He had never played well in a Game 7.
Well, see, that's why I say...
What's that to do with the haters?
The criticisms of him have been justified.
I mean, it's really the stories about him.
Right.
And coming through in that spot where he'd never really come through in that spot before. I mean, that's just a fact.
It is.
So, I mean, that's not haters. That's
but you got to understand, he's got to feel pretty vindicated, and rightfully so, after that performance.
Yeah, but I don't think it has anything to do with anyone else. It has to do with him. He played in 4 Game 7s before then, had not played a single good Game 7. And so the story is that he broke through against himself. Not about what people are saying about him. What does that have to do with him?
I mean, I thought he was terrific, really. And look, who didn't? I mean, he was dynamite in that game. Absolutely dynamite. And reliable. And now, look, what I don't know is, can he continue it? How long will it go? I don't know. Okay, overall, he had a good series. He had a great Game 7.
Yeah, what I find interesting, you'll hear Cassidy say it coming up, is that Cassidy goes back to and said, look, we had 2 goalies this year. And we were able to reduce Tuukka Rask's workload. And that was the whole idea, because we all know what happens to him when he gets too much work. And now we get deep into a series and he gets better as the series goes on. Does that go back to the fact that Halak got, whatever it was, 30-something starts and Tuukka Rask is rested? And are you bearing the fruits of having that good backup and giving Rask that blow during the regular season?
Okay, but how was he in the second round last year?
It was good.
Okay, so right, my point is it can ebb and flow still.
Yeah.
And my concern with Rask now is, okay, fine. I'll give the Bruins credit for managing his workload. Like, if they want to take credit for that, I'll give them credit for that. But now, especially having gone 7 games, you got to play every other night. I mean, there's no let-up now. You're going to have to play somewhere around, what, 23, 25, maybe more games if you're going to win a cup. And so he's going to be challenged in a similar way in the postseason that he was in the regular season. He's not going to get many breaks.
Taking out the goalie. Assess how the team played last night, this series, and apply that going forward.
So I thought that they were good, not great. I still think the Leafs had them hemmed in way too many times. Tuukka bailed their ass out. But the thing that was nice to see was the contributions from guys lower down the roster. And again, I know we said this after game six, but I don't know how you avoid talking about Sean Corrali. He makes a difference. He makes a difference. He gives them a reliable guy there in the last couple of lines, along with Coyle, for that matter. And, you know, now you put those guys on the ice and you actually think something good can happen, as opposed to in the early part of the series, particularly the fourth line, because Coyle had a good series all the way through. But the fourth line at the beginning, ooh, that was bad. Bad, bad, bad.
To me, the secondary scoring is huge.
Massive.
I never totally bought into it. It's just about your top line. And if they go, you go. And they don't, you don't. I don't know. I just feel like unless your first line is Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel, no, it's about getting a contribution from the whole team. And, boy, it makes it so much easier to win when you get a goal or two from the third or fourth line. And I think it's just so important for the Bruins, because as much as we love Bergeron, Marchand, and those guys, they're not Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel. They're not. They're two-way players, and it's just a little different. They're not that prolific offensively. I mean, they're very good, but they're not. You need the team. And I think it's just, I think a huge positive is the way Coyle played the whole series. And that gives you a legit third-line guy. And Corrali back makes all the difference down there on that fourth line. I think that's a huge development in that.
Corrali was a huge factor in these last couple of games. And I thought the game completely changed after his goal last night, because the Maple Leafs were still pushing the Bruins around 5-on-5 like they had for much of the series. After that goal, they became what they always were and always will be: gutless losers.
Seriously, though. I mean, like, the Leafs.
It turned into last year's Game 7 after that goal.
All right, well, but let me tell you something. I think the Leafs are a good team.
They are.
I think the Leafs are a good team that played well. The Leafs played well this series. Now, look, from the goaltender out, the goalie sort of turned into a pumpkin last night. So, sure, Frederik Andersen, 6 of the 7 games was, I mean, I thought the series MVP before last night.
He was.
So, they got good goaltending. They're much better defensively. And they are freaking dangerous in that forward group. The way they come at you in waves and the speed and how they generate through the neutral zone. I mean, I'm glad to be done with that team if I'm the Bruins. They gave you fits because I think they're good.
It's a bad matchup for the Bruins too, because a lot of them are small and fast.
I think Toronto's good. That got better from last year. And I think if Toronto had won last night, I would not have been surprised one bit to see that team in the Stanley Cup final. And I think they're coming. So the bad news is that they had you on your heels for a lot of that series. They had you on your heels for a lot of last night. Your breakouts looked like crap. You couldn't generate anything through the neutral zone. You couldn't complete passes. And it looked like, you know, they were skating circles around you again for a lot of this series and some of last night. That's the bad news. The good news is that they're really good and you still beat them. And I think that's a terrific sign. I think honestly, what's left in the field, I think if you can beat the Leafs, you can beat anybody, with the exception of Holtby, and let's burn that bridge when you get to it. But I think you beat a really good team. And that's the good news. I mean, I'm not looking past the Leafs and saying that they choked. I don't think the Leafs choked. I think you they were better than you in a lot of respects last night.
Yeah, I'm just telling you that uniform just got even heavier.
Well, so look, you want to tell me they don't know how to win yet? I think we can still say that. They still don't know how to close.
I mean, that goal, that first goal, you can't let that goal in that game.
They have you up 1-0, 2-1, 3-2. They have you 3-2 in game 6 in their building. They're up 1-0, and they can't close. So that's a team that doesn't know how to win yet, but they're good. They're good, and they gave you fits. They made you look bad in a lot of this series, and I don't think you're bad. So I just give the Bruins credit for beating that team. I think that's a good team.
I mean, they constantly put pressure on you. Constantly. Because it is. It's wave after wave, and they're all fast.
So
every single one of them.
I'm hoping it's Toronto. In other words, if that's the way the Bruins look coming out of their zone, they're not going to make it 4 rounds. They're going to get tripped up eventually. They're not going to be able to survive. I'm hoping it's just the pressure that Toronto generated on you in the matchup that made you look sort of disjointed there at times and on your heels. That's the hope, and that's what I think it is. Hopefully there's something that happened in that Toronto series that made David Pastrnak look like complete ass. I thought Pastrnak sucked in this series.
He was bad.
And bad last night. Like, good Lord, man. Anytime he touched the puck, Anytime he touched the puck, just pay attention. It was just a matter of time before it was going back the other way. Could not maintain possession at all, I thought, for the balance of the series and last night. Hopefully that's something Muzzin did to him. Hopefully that's something that the matchup dictated that made him look like that. And so, that you know, as I assess them going forward, they've got to be a lot cleaner with the puck. My God. And Pastrnak has to get his head out of his ass. And if he doesn't, they're in trouble. But was that Toronto doing that to him? I think it might have been.
Well, look, when you play that fast, the other team's going to be, you know, inspired, pressured to keep up. And you're going to start getting turnovers and mistakes. So he was bad. I didn't think Marchand was great in that game last night either.
Not like he had been, I agree.
But how about that pass he made from the corner right out to the middle, just completely gave it away. Do you remember
brutal.
That one?
Yes, of course.
Like, I looked at that and said, who the hell are you passing that to? So I do think Toronto's speed had something to do with it. I think for the Bruins, it was a hard matchup in that way. And, you know, Toronto's even better than they were a year ago, and I feared them a year ago.
So a big factor in this series, Maz, was special teams. You go 7-for-16 on the man advantage, which is just epic. And you kill out the two penalties last night. They can't get anything on their power play. I think they finished something like one of their last 9 or something on the power play. Special teams was a huge factor.
Yeah, I think there were 3-for-16 or something in the series, right?
Okay, I don't know what it was overall. I know they were 1-for-their-last-9 or something like that. And you got the two PKs last night after you had scored and I think won a couple games solely on the basis of your man advantage. So it was a huge factor in the series. Goaltending was a big factor in this series, and it finally tilted in your favor in Game 7, just in the nick of time. I think those two things, goaltending in Game 7 and special teams, is what won you the series. On balance, I still want to say Toronto's better. I still think they carried the balance of the 5-on-5 play. And so, if I'm the Bruins, I am thankful to be rid of those guys. And I hope they get knocked off next year, because I just think, eventually, you keep playing them, and the games are played like that, you're not going to be able to get past that team.
I mean, look, how many times did we hear it all year that they're in the toughest division in hockey? Cam Neely saying he'd love to see the team seeded by conference rather than division, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? They're out of the division. They're out. The Bruins got out. Okay, there's no division to worry about
That's
anymore.
Right. That's right.
So you're out now. Tampa's out. Toronto's out. They're both gone. You're out.
So again, the road to the cup goes through Boston. Just so corny and ridiculous to say, but it's true. They're the highest remaining seed. They have home ice advantage throughout the balance of the playoffs, which means very little, but it is still true. It remains, and it also means little, because if you get past this next team, you probably have the Capitals, or you might have the Capitals waiting for you, and that is a torture chamber for you. That's, you know, in the last 5 years or so, been the toughest matchup for you and that goaltender. So it's not like, you know, this is the NFL where you got a bye week and then a tomato can game and then a home AFC title game. It's like a long way to go, but it's just the way it's fallen across the league. The way it's fallen across the league this year, the Caps are going to lose tonight if it holds. So we're going to be a lot of hockey today, folks. We still got to toss some markers at the big board. We'll do that later on in the show. We want to get to the Red Sox after their performance yesterday. I know Maz has a few thoughts.
Is that what we're calling it, a performance?
Yeah, no, nice team you got there. So we've got that, but your hockey thoughts. You know the number. We'll get right to you after these words.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to Felger and Naz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha he he.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Once they get on the ice, I believe the leadership group will have our guys in a good place.
I think obviously it's a battle of will out there, especially more so in Game 7. You know, it's whatever it takes.
It's exciting. Game 7, you know. So what do you play for, you know, everything online.
Right of the net, Nordstrom shoots, he scores!
I was just trying to get a rebound. I know Sean was net front there crushing the net, so but it ended up going in, so we'll take it.
Right circle, Johansson fires, he scores!
It was good to see that one go in tonight and kind of feel good about that for a little bit.
Here's Tavares! Scores! Johnny!
Johnny Toronto, and the Maple Leafs are on the board.
Achari nudges it to Corrali. He'll carry it himself over the line, high slot to the far circle. Fires. He scores.
I just found myself in the slot all of a sudden and just put it on net, really. And they don't usually go in for me, but that was a good one and a big one. And I think you can see by the way I reacted how I felt about that goal.
Stolen. Krejci. Far circle. Centers. Coyle shoots. He scores. The Bruins create the turnover. It sent to Charlie Coyle with the empty yawning cage looking to right at him 30 feet away. He deposits an empty netter. Bruins 4, Maple Leafs 1.
My initial thought is they beat a really good team because I thought Tampa was lights out. We saw them firsthand late in the year. So clearly we got our hands full. We're going to enjoy this one tonight, but tomorrow we'll be back in trying to break them down.
Comment there, Bruce Cass and the Columbus Blue Jackets, which we will get to in due time. Try and get your reaction to the series and last night against the Leafs, first and foremost. You only have a day to get ready for the Blue Jackets. That's kind of great. You don't have to sit around here talking about the Blue Jackets for a week.
Quick turnaround.
Right back at it tomorrow. But as promised, right to your reaction. Phil and Malden, lead us off today. Go.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Couple of quick points. The old cliche, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If Cassidy breaks up those four lines, he's crazy.
I don't necessarily agree with that, Phil. I'll just give you one point. A lot of people want to talk today. I don't agree with that. How was Heinen in this series?
I thought at the beginning he was okay. I mean, he was with Coyle at the beginning, and they were pretty good.
Would you say he was a little quiet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how about very? But once they moved him with Bergeron and Marchand, I don't remember seeing him a lot.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think even at, that's specifically what I mean. You're right. He was better with Coyle almost.
He was.
And Pastrnak, I think, as the series went on, was a disaster. So, no, if you want to keep moving those guys around, I have no problem with it. And if you want to put Wagner back in and, you know, get Corrali, Achari, and Wagner back going... And I know Nordstrom scored last night, but let's face it, that wasn't really about Nordstrom, that goal.
That was a gift.
I'm fine with that. I would not get static with his lineups. I thought Cassidy got too static at some point in the middle of that Leafs series. I'm like, who are you? Come on. You're supposed to be the guy that mixes everything up and is constantly tinkering, so keep doing that.
Yeah, there's pressure now. Keep them guessing. Keep the other team guessing.
Sully and Worcester, your thoughts?
Hey, boys, how you doing?
We're fine, Sully. What do you got?
So, first, I want to say shout out to DM for a birthday.
But okay, no shout outs. Frank the Tank, what do you got for us today?
Well, look, guys, I told you at the beginning of the series that, you know, this series was going to be about goaltending. And, you know, eventually it turned out that way. I thought Frederik Andersen was great in the beginning of this series, but he was not the second coming of Ken Dryden. The Leafs are a good team, they are definitely on the come. I know Jim loves the Schadenfreude thing about, you know, everybody in pain, and I do too. But this team is going to be good coming up in the future. I feel bad for my buddy Farmer Rob up in Toronto. You know, he's a good buddy. You know, he loves his Leafs, but this team is going to be good in the next couple of years. And Bruins fans, please get your collective heads out of your collective asses. The Bruins just made it past the first round. They are not in the Stanley Cup Finals yet. We have to go through Columbus next and then so on. So stop with the road is easy because it's not.
The road isn't easy.
But it ain't Tampa in round two.
The road is different than what it was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, you know, it's easier.
It's better. It's a better road.
And if Washington gets knocked off tonight, I don't know how you can't be licking your chops. There's no shame in looking at that and saying, oh, man, we got a real opportunity.
I'm not taking Columbus for granted because I think Columbus has got some players. I love those defensemen they have.
Oh,
boy, they got good defensemen.
I love Rowenski.
Like really, they do. But if the Bruins, if I have to remember it as the Bruins beat Toronto in Game 7 and then lost to Columbus, that's going to bug the crap out of me.
That would be a tough pill. You are going up against the best goalie in the league, the hottest anyway, and He's won a Vezina in the last couple of years. Did he win the Vezina last year? He's been the last 2 or 3 years one of the best goalies in the league, if not the best. And he was out of his boobs against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Hopefully that 7-day, 8-day break cooled off Bobrovsky. And I never quite totally trust the Russians. And if that makes me sound xenophobic, then so be it. I don't mean it in any sort of a nationalistic way, just from a purely hockey standpoint.
He's got two Vezinas.
When was the last one?
The last one was in 16-17.
Okay, so anyway, he's really good, and he had an amazing series against Tampa. But again, there's something about the Russians. They could go hot and cold. But if Bobrovsky's hot, you're going to face the best goalie on the planet. Adam in Rhode Island, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Tuukka stole the game last night and in turn stole the series. But my main point is to kind of what Frank was saying, that Toronto's definitely on the come, and they're definitely going to be harder to beat next year. But I got a feeling that they're going to self-destruct because of their contract situation with Marner coming up. They're going to have, what, three or four players making $40 to $45 million, and they're not going to be able to get the players they need to fill in the rest.
They're going to have to make some choices. There's no question about it. I just think they got some talent. You know, even that second level talent is their third and fourth lines, and not that they necessarily produce, but just the way they skate. And you take out Marlow, I mean, they skate really well. They were on you. There was wave after wave. I felt last night and portions this series. Whatever. I don't frankly care about the Leafs. I'm just telling you, I think you beat a good team that played pretty well. The Leafs did not. If you want to say that they tightened up after it became 3-1 last night, I'll agree with you. But I don't think the Leafs, quote unquote, choked in this series. I think the Leafs played pretty well. You just toughed it out.
Yeah, that first goal.
The first goal was rough.
So, I just know if I'm a Toronto fan and that first goal goes in, I'm like, oh, my God, here we go again. Here we go again. That said, I'm intrigued by that roster. I think the guy they made a mistake with was Nylander. That's a guy they should have traded for a defenseman, but they got Hainsey and Gardner coming off the books. Like, they're going to get some older guys out of there.
How do you like Gardner?
Oh, no, he had a good two game sevens, didn't he, Gardner? -5 last year, -3 last night, -8, -8 in two game sevens. And I know they're covering his ass up there now because apparently he had a back problem, right? Like, I know that Babcock went out of his way to defend him. Two game sevens, -8 in two game sevens. You lost by 7 goals combined. He's the difference.
He is still just back there giving it away.
I mean, that play with Johansson was unbelievable.
Just rimming it around to no one behind the net. Well, I'll say this about the Bruins. Finally, last night, their first two goals were all created off forecheck, getting pucks down low and, exploiting the bad Tampa D.
Pressuring them, right.
Toronto D. I keep saying Tampa. The Toronto D. I think Toronto carried most of the play in the first two periods, but on those goals, that's what you did. You exploited those crappy D-men back there.
I mean, that turnover behind the net was unbelievable.
Who's he going to?
Yeah, who are you leaving that for?
He wasn't even pressured.
Like, you're leaving cookies for Santa? What are you doing? Holy crap.
Robert and Wellesley, go.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Your predecessors in the last hour were not concerned about Columbus. They just blew Tampa Bay out of the water. How can you not be concerned about that?
I'd be very concerned about Columbus.
Me too.
I think talent for talent, they're equal to you, if not better. I don't know how they've had a really disappointing year. They've had a funky season where they underachieved for much of it. They almost sold everything, then decided to buy, and just caught lightning in a bottle here at the end. But they are big. They are fast. They are more physical, which I think is better for you. A little bit more to your style, as opposed to Toronto just zipping around all over the place. But Columbus has got it all. They've got an amazing forward group. They've got two, both their top two pairs are good. And their goalie, when he's on, is the best on the planet. So if they're playing their game, there aren't many holes on that team.
No, they're 11-1 in their last 12.
And their coach has been there and has won a cup, and that's a legit team. That's a legit team.
11-1, and their only loss to the Bruins.
Brendan in Boston, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just think two key guys for us to beat Columbus. Carlo, if he keeps playing like he's playing, being a stud, finally. Pasta, not looking like he's playing instructional hockey, running into people at the blue line.
Did you see that? What the hell was that? Yo, he had his head up his ass all series.
He really did, though.
Yeah. No chance if he plays like that. We got to have him on his game.
Agreed. Further you go, all hands on deck. So someone's got to get to Pastrnak and give him a Jaquanda. That's a dope slap to the back of the head. Wake up. I just think Carlo and Chara, maybe more specifically, this is tough because they can also skate over there. But guys like Anderson and Foligno and Atkinson, like, they got some guys who are big. And I think that's just better for Chara when he goes against big guys. Now, they're also really fast, but they're not little and quick. That's different. They're big and fast. And I think that's going to give Chara – I think Chara's going to have a better series in the second round, a better matchup for him.
Well, a lot of those guys are used to being able to use their reach to an advantage, and you can't do that with him. Like, you know, he can get farther than you can.
We continue with your Bruins reaction right after Murray's up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Now centered, fired, Rask, a stop on Matthews, point blank. Marner shoots, Rask the save, rebound, Rask able to stop the return from Mitch Marner, who's denied. And it's over the line right side, walks in, shoots, Rask the save, they go blocker again. Centered out in front, Ennis taking a couple of whacks at it. He couldn't put a fork on it.
Marner over the line near side. Goes rink wide. Centered out in front. Hyman the step on Rask. He drove it at the near post. Rask slid across, made the save.
I don't think you win any game seven unless you're, you know, rarely. Last year we had a 7-4 where it just seemed like it was all offense, but generally speaking, you need your goaltender to hold you in there. And I thought Tuukka was outstanding. Had a real good series. Tuukka was great tonight. Really handled himself well. Great composure. Could outplay the puck when he needed to. Froze it when he needed to. We limited his workload this year. And you wonder how is it going to affect you in the playoffs. And I think tonight, hopefully, you got some residual effect of that where he was fresh the last couple games playing every second night. It pays off. And hopefully even more going forward. But I think he was our best player tonight.
Cassidy on Tuukka Rask with some highlights there, courtesy Jimmy Stewart. I just felt it interesting he went back to the workload during the year. And you're right, Maz. He was good against Tampa, or decent anyway. It wasn't about him in that second round last year. So it's not like he quote-unquote faded. But I don't know. Just keep an eye on it. We all say the you know, less is more with Rask, and the less workload he gets, the better off you're going to be in the long run. And maybe that bore some fruit there against Toronto. All I know is Game 7 was his best game of the series, and he had a good series. He was good pretty much the whole way through.
I just worry about him too many games in a row. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that in the playoffs, that could come up again.
So this series, from what I understand, is going to be every other night with one exception. Game 1 is already set for tomorrow night. Game 2 will be Saturday. It's depending whether it's going to be afternoon or night based on what happens with the Capitals. And I'm not sure which. If the Caps win or lose, you're 3 or 8, or I'm not sure how that's all going to shake out. And then your next game, again, depending on what happens tonight, is either going to be Monday or Tuesday. And so there's going to be an extra day in there. But other than that, after that, starting in game 4, you go back to every other night. You'll be on the 4th, the 6th, the 8th, blah, blah, blah. 2nd, 4th, 6th, 8th. So he's not going to have, usually, the Bruins anyway in the past, have had at least one breather on their way to the Cup. In 2011, they swept Philly in the second round. In 2013, I think it was like 5 games against the Rangers and then a sweep of Pittsburgh.
Correct.
In the conference finals, and still Rask wore down in the finals. But either way, it's hard to go, you know, 4 times 7. You usually need one in there that's nice and easy, that gives you a little break between the next series. So I don't...
No, this thing's a marathon. I hate that they don't get an extra day. I've already blamed Cher because she's playing Sunday night at the Garden. This should be Friday, Sunday, not Thursday, Saturday.
Freaking Cher.
I mean, if I'm the Bruins, I'll take any break I can get. You want to give me 2 days between games 2 and 3, I'm in.
So they'll have 2 days. They'll have 2 days either between games 2 and 3 or 3 and 4. I think that's the way that works. Either way... I think you have a chance to have a better Rask this year because of the rest he got during the regular season. I think that's generally true, what Cassidy said. Back to your phones. James in Boston. Go ahead, James. James, are you there? Okay, babe, you can call us back. You know the number. Andrew in Medford. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, guys. How's it going? I wanted to ask about Babcock pulling the goalie. I know that they were down 2. I'm just wondering if maybe it was the same situation as the game before where it was like a little bit too early, didn't totally have possession, and is that any kind of like panic reaction on how good Tuukka was as far as Babcock pulling the goalie?
So, yeah, I think the better second guess was game 6 in Toronto. when they had not completely gotten the zone and it was a one goal game. Last night, you're down two. You got to pull the goalie in that 2 to 3 minute range if you've got a shot. You just do.
I mean, to me, the one goal difference versus the two is huge. So you got to roll the dice. You're down two. What are you going to do? Wait till there's a minute to go? You're going to get two goals in a minute? You have no choice when that happens.
I'm with you. You know, Babcock, people like to rag on Babcock. I don't think he had a horrible series. I mean, if you follow it from the Toronto side, we read you a story yesterday about, you know, who he's using on PK faceoffs, and there's a lot of nitty gritty stuff in there. I'm sure there's little things you can pick nits at, but I think for the most part, his team played well. His team played hard, and I don't really know what Babcock screwed up either. I mean,
so the one thing you hear up there, and again, the guy that we had on yesterday, Terry Cohan of the Toronto Sun, had read his story this morning, and he said there was still power play time. Now, they only had two power plays, but given to the second unit.
Yes, where he likes to spread out the power play time. Right. He runs Marlowe out there with the second group, which is why. It's game seven. You haven't won in 15 years. Keep the top unit out there for 2 minutes. I would agree with that.
I mean, your best forwards, your top two lines, Matthews, Tavares, Marner, those guys should be playing 20 minutes. Like, they should be out there 20 minutes in game seven.
Agreed.
You can't lose with anybody else out there.
Alan in California, your thoughts.
Hey, guys, just taking you off speaker. The Pat Quinn hit 50 years ago. We just had the anniversary of it, and the Maple Leafs haven't won a series against Boston since. So can we call it the Pat Quinn curse?
Sure. Go ahead. Call Shaughnessy. We'll write a book. We'll do the whole thing. Do that on your own time. Jim in Providence. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I called the late show last year and said, let's not stop blanking each other's blanks just yet. And I think it applies here.
Yes, it does.
You're going up against a great coach next round, a great goalie, and a tough defense. And I think you're going to see a lot of number 42 in this series. I know Maz wants to see a Scandinavian all-star game out there, but you're going to have more hitting, bigger people. And I think you're going to need Backes.
Okay. Yeah, I think Backes to me is a nice sort of situational thing to bring out of the you know, bring off the bench, bring off the ninth floor. You need a jolt of physicality or veteran something or that thing. Then yes. And there'll be a place for him in this Columbus series, because there's going to become a time, unlike this Toronto series, which was very, after the Kadri thing and after all the game two nonsense, was a pretty tame series in terms of physicality.
I think the team's got to talk into.
There were a couple of scrums last night, and when it was the first time in games, he said, well, these two finally got at each other, so face washing each other, and it was very little of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, the league probably got to him after game two, which is, well, why'd you listen? This is still the playoffs.
Yeah. And so maybe they were threatened, you know, like, we're not going to let it go. You're going to get penalties. At which point the coach says, back off a little. Like, you know, that, like, to me, there's got to be a threat of something bad happening. Otherwise, you don't stop.
So Columbus has got Dubinsky, that little rat, and Tortorella's not afraid to go there. He likes to go there. And there'll be a time and a place for David Backes in this series. Am I playing him all seven games?
No.
I don't think, I mean, I just.
He doesn't have the legs to play three in a row.
I don't think he's there.
I'm not joking. Like, he doesn't have the legs to play three in a row at this time of year in that pace. And I was telling you, as I was rattling off early, their defense crew, I'm just rattling off heights now. Okay, 6'3", 6'2", 6'4", 6'2", 6'4", 6'1", 6'0", 6'2", 6'2".
What's Seth Jones?
Seth Jones is 6'4", 210.
He's a moose.
I forgot McQuaid's there. McQuaid's 6'4". They get some giants. They have some absolute freaking giants.
Adam McQuaid is there.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yep. I mean, like, huh. They do. They have some beasts on this team.
We continue with your reaction to Bruins, Leafs, and just a series that concluded, the game that concluded, the Bruins going forward, all of that. We do have to get to what went on last night in San Jose. Because if you went to bed like I did at 3-0, I couldn't believe it. Just me watching the extended highlight pack, the condensed game or that big, long highlight pack on NHL Network, I was sitting there screaming at the television during the highlight reenactment of what happened in that game last night and the fallout from that. So we want to spend a few minutes on that. We'll do it in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Puck came out, but Erik Karlsson intercepts. Moves across the line, lead. Barkley Goodrow gets around the defense, shoots. He scores! Barkley Goodrow is the hero for the Sharks in overtime in Game 7. The Sharks were down by 3 goals. They came back, they took the lead, and then after Vegas tied it, Barkley Goodrow is the big man on campus. Sharks win 5-4, and they win the series in 7.
All right, Sharks, Golden Knights. Just got to spend a few minutes on this because this was unbelievable.
I'm so happy I stayed up for this last night. It ended up playing out like a damn Rocky movie on ice. It really did.
So, long story short, Golden Knights in San Jose up 3-0 in full command. Just building's kind of dead. There's, 11 minutes left in the third period?
Halfway through the third.
Okay.
The third goal just trickles through Martin Jones. It's over.
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 3-0, 10, 11 minutes left in the third. San Jose's dead. It's done. People starting to file out the building almost. And there's a offensive zone faceoff with Joe Pavelski taking it for the Sharks. And right after the faceoff, he gets shoved. Was it Eakins?
Eakin,
the Golden Knight player. Gives him a shove / cross check. Really not that bad.
Right in the chest.
Right in the chest, right. It wasn't high. It was in the chest. And it was a cross check. And Pavelski sort of lost his balance. And then he got hit by another Golden Knight player as he was sort of going down and cracked his head real bad on the ice. And they had to help him off. And Pavelski's like a really respected, longtime guy that everyone loves. And he went down scary, was sort of motionless on the ice. And the refs called a 5-minute major, 5-minute cross-checking major, which in real time, given how hard he went down and how he looked, kind of sort of made sense. But then when you watch the replay, the cross, this was not Nazem Kadri to the neck or the head of Jake DeBrusk.
It was an intent to injure.
This was a garden variety.
Pavelski lost his balance. It wasn't a dangerous play. There was no intent to injure.
Borderline, it was technically cross-checking, but if Pavelski hadn't gone down the way that he had, there would have been no penalty. Never mind a major. They call a major. San Jose scores 1 early in the 5-minute major. Now it's 3-1.
7 seconds in, they get a goal.
Okay, so that was right off the next faceoff. And then comes a deluge like you haven't seen. They score 4 goals on the 5-minute power play. 4 goals in the 5 minutes, go up 4-3. The Golden Knights then unbelievably tie the game with the goalie pulled to force overtime, and then that's the game winner you heard right there. San Jose advances. Your thoughts, Murray?
It's the craziest thing I've seen since Bergeron, that comeback against the Toronto Maple Leafs in 2013. I still can't believe it. And I think that the Sharks certainly got a benefit from that call. That's as bad a call as I've ever seen because, again, there was really no intent to injure there. Pavelski lost his balance. He fell. The optics of it were terrible because there's blood on the ice. But there shouldn't have been a 5-minute major. But after that first goal, that fast, you got to call a timeout. Because it was Couture, I think, that scored it. And he looks right at the San Jose bench and holds up his glove. 1. Like, he's, like, fired up. Like this is...
There's one.
This is for Joe. We got 1. Here it comes. You have to call a timeout if you're the Golden Knights. And that doesn't happen. And then it's just an onslaught. And all of a sudden, they're down in this game. And I couldn't believe it.
The call. Your thoughts on the call?
Oh, brutal. Can't call that there. You can't call a major. Can't call 5 minutes. I mean, like, sometimes I wonder in these games, like, are you guys trying to tighten it up? Is that what you're trying to do? Like, you want to say it's...
I mean, don't you think they reacted the way he was lying on the ice?
Yes.
That's 100% what it was.
But again, you have to judge the hit, not the result. Like, and I understand, now, league discipline is different. But the hit on the ice, it was a cross check. It was a cross check, and he fell awkwardly and hit his head.
It was some NFL-level crap is what that was when it came to the officiating. That's what made me so mad, because you typically don't see that kind of thing in the NHL.
I mean, I'd like to go back and see... Did anyone even put up their arm in real time?
I don't know. Good question.
When it happened,
no.
Good question.
In real time, did either ref put the arm up, or did they just see him laying on the ice, talk about it, and then say that's a 5-minute major.
Yeah. Yeah, there was nothing in real time. That's what made it so infuriating, because it was the reaction to him being down and blood on the ice. That's what it was.
You can't call that there. I'm sorry. You can't call it. Now, that said, what a collapse. What a collapse. The penalty was called at 9:13. Okay, 9:13 of the period. The goals came at 9:20, 10:09, 12:53, and 13:21. They still had 52 seconds to get another one. I'm not kidding. Like, think of that. 4 goals in, like, 4:08.
By maybe the most unlikely of teams when it comes to loserdom and, you know, that cloud hanging
over a good point.
Them.
There's a trend out there, Murray. Every dog has his day.
I know.
And the Sharks are about the biggest. Jonathan Marchessault, forward there for the Vegas Golden Knights, went on a rant after the game that I just feel is worth playing. We'll stop and start it. It's over 2 minutes long. We'll cut in, cut out of it. But Jonathan Marchessault on the call last night after the game.
I mean, I really hope that Joe Pavelski is okay. Obviously, you never want to see something bad like that happen, but it's a joke. Called 5 minutes for that? That's, why don't you have a hockey replay or something? Change the whole hot comment of the game. Like, seriously, what is that? It's so disappointing. It's like trying to get involved in the game. The game's not even close. It's 3-0. Call it 2, okay, but a 5 with something you don't even see? You just call the outcome. It's a f-ing joke. It's embarrassing. That's what it is.
What did they tell you on the ice as a team?
Oh, he says it looks pretty bad. Ferrella told me it looks pretty bad. Wait, if it looks pretty bad, you clearly do not see it. It's a face-off. It's a push. Probably 50% of the face-off players, when they lose, they give a small cross-check, right? If you want to call it a cross-check, call it. It's fine. Like, it's a cross-check. But seriously, like, he falls bad. It's unfortunate. He's like, I'm a big fan of Joel Pavelski. Don't get me wrong. He's an awesome player. And he went down, and I really hope he's okay and he's going to come back. But that call, like, changes the whole outcome, changes the whole future of us, of the outcome of this year. And it's a joke. I mean, I would be embarrassed if I was them.
I would be embarrassed if I were them.
So they won't be embarrassed. I mean, you know, I think generally he's right. And he, by the way, is the guy that scored the goal to tie the game, right? So it was a great pass from Riley Smith, and Marchessault tied the score with the goal he pulled. So he's the one who tied the game. But I think generally he's right. You can't inject yourself into the game if you're the officials like that. You just can't do it. Not in a game 7. However, dude, your penalty killing gives up 4 goals in 4 minutes?
Yeah, that's also inexcusable.
And your coach never stops the game?
So they're right, and there's that. 4 goals in 4 minutes, 5-on-4. The Bruins killed 2 power plays last night. I know it wasn't consecutive. But even so, kill the freaking thing. Give up 2 goals.
Keep going.
Don't give up 4.
Keep going, Jimmy.
In time in the series that they've seemingly guessed at a call.
Yeah, they guess. So exactly, why don't you have a video replay? Like, just help them. It's a fast game for everybody out there. It's a fast game. It's embarrassing.
Do you feel like it was stolen from you, John?
If it was stolen? Yeah. It was 3-0. What, 10, 12 minutes left? They scored 4 goals on the power play. Like, they came clutch. I mean, they feed off a bad call, and they came back, and 4-3, and get the big goal in overtime. Gotta give them credit at some point. They're a great hockey team. But it's embarrassing.
You think there's any way you lose that game if that's not a 5-minute call?
No. They get a power play goal, fine. 3-1. Big deal. 2-goal game, 10 minutes left.
How tough is it going to be knowing that that's the story throughout the entire season?
But it's the same thing with the what's that football game, the Saints.
Yeah.
Changes the whole outcome. Like, obviously, human error exists, but it's a fast game for everyone. I think everybody needed extra help, and I think they just got involved in the game. Called a bad call, and look where we are. Summer starts 5 months now until game one of the
regular season. Okay, you can stop. It's great. It's effing summer starts.
Look where we are. Summer starts 5 months now until
5 months till I get to play again.
He's right to be that mad, though.
That's usually how I feel on December 1st. Like, here comes a winner again. Good God, effing 5 months.
Look where we are. Summer starts 5 months now until
guy wants to keep playing hockey, eh?
I'll tell you, though, the comparison to the Saints game's a good one. I mean, it's a good one. Those are like, you know, those are potentially franchise-altering calls for crying out loud. That is to inject yourself in the game like that. What a mistake.
Well, you get through on something like that, watch out for San Jose. Watch out for San Jose.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So we just wanted to get to that because that was quite telling. Back to the Bruins. Your thoughts on that last night if you want. Whatever. 90 seconds, no commercials. Update then you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.